you that know the value of prayer, that you would breathe a prayer for me tonight. And all you minister brethren, you know the feeling standing up here before a congregation. Handling the word of the Lord. I feel my youth tonight. But I came here with a burden on my heart. I can't leave here and take that back with me. A lot of faces under here that I recognize, but I don't put names with. And you may not be able to put a name with my face. My name is Michael Williamson. I'm here with my wife, Tammy. And we're from LaRonger. And I'm under the pastoral tutelage of Brother Ed Wilson and his wife, Sister Roberta. And I appreciate all that they've done for me. They've given us wonderful counsel. They've been a wonderful help. I appreciate that. But I know that that's not what's going to hold me up here tonight. I know that the only thing that can hold me up here tonight is the Lord. And I ask that you pray for me. I was down here a little while this evening while young people were having their meeting. And I heard Brother Ed issue a challenge. Oh, I say it's a challenge. He asked them to prove why we believe the Bible is true. Could you prove it? He said. Would you prove that to me? He said, I'm going to play devil's advocate. And I want you to prove your point to me. Well, that challenged me. I hope it challenged them. Because I know one thing that I have found in my life, that I've been living for the Lord, that I'm being challenged every day. The onslaught of the devil is so great that he cares nothing but to tear you and me down. It doesn't matter how spiritual we are. It doesn't matter how long we've been saved. It doesn't matter how much education, knowledge that we have. The devil is after us. And if you have an experience of salvation, a true, settled, deep experience of salvation, the devil is after you. Because that's all he wants to do is disrupt and derail our salvation. I remember in Genesis, the third chapter, the very first verse, when Eve faced the temptation. Notice what it says in that chapter, Genesis 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. Well, we know what the story was. My point here is, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Folks, we don't know what way he's going to attack. We never know what method he's going to use. But one thing is certain, he's going to find a way. He's going to find a vulnerable point in our lives, and he's going to attack. He's going to find the point that we're weakest at, and he's going to attack. Now, I know that I have weakness. And I believe if everyone in here will be honest with yourself, you'll realize and recognize that you have a weakness. And you know where that weakness is. That's a danger point. That's a weak point. That could be a breach in the line of defense. That's where the devil can come in his attack. And he's going to do it. You can count on that. He's going to do it. He's going to bombard you. Do you find yourselves being bombarded by Satan? Do you find yourselves being bombarded by the devil, the destroyer of the soul? I find myself in that place sometimes. I find myself in the place where I feel like I am being bombarded on every side. Not only my weak point, but anything else that he can throw at me to stumble me, he's doing it. He throws it up. Don't we all face that? If we're honest with ourselves, can't we say that we all face that? Yes, we do. Yes, we do. This devil that we face today is the very same devil that tempted Eve. The very same one. He has the very same purpose. The purpose is no different. The tactics may have changed. The tactics may have changed, but the purpose is still the same. To destroy the soul. That's still the purpose behind it. I'd like for you to turn with me to Daniel. I had this message down home in our congregation there. But the Lord kept dealing with me about that, this message. And I felt through His Spirit that He was dealing about that message here. And I asked Him, Lord, already preached that. Why again? Well, I found out you really don't question the Lord. If He wants it, He makes a way. I asked Him, Lord, just have what You want. Make it what You want it to be. It doesn't have to be the same thing, but fit it for this occasion. Yes, thank the Lord. Daniel, the first chapter, beginning with the third verse. We'll read down possibly through the end of the chapter. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had said over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days. And let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Well, you know the story from there. This setting was a most uncomfortable setting for these young men. Now, I spoke at the outset about the devil challenging us on a weak point or any line that he could find to challenge us on. These men were being challenged. These men had fallen captive to the king of Babylon. They had been taken out of their native country into Babylon. Everything that they knew, everything that they understood, was left back there. The temple, their families. It was all back there. They were taken away. They were brought to a foreign land. The devil was working on these men. The devil was working on these men. But let's listen to what they did and how they handled their situation. Now, these were smart young men. They were intelligent. They had been bred up in the king's court. They had been given of the best teaching, the best training. Otherwise, the king of Babylon wouldn't have had them in his court. He wouldn't have taken the time. He didn't want anything with the best. But I want us to notice what the king of Babylon tried to do to these young men and just how far he got. You notice that down the line here in this seventh verse that the prince of the eunuchs gave them names. He changed their names. Now, a name is a distinction. And many times in the Old Testament you'll read where a certain name meant a certain thing. When a child was born, it was given a name, and the definition of the name was given. A name is also a mark of dominion or authority. There were times in the Old Testament where when a king came in and conquered another king, he changed his name. The king Eliakim, when Pharaoh Necho came in and conquered, he changed his name to Jehoiakim. Why? Why change his name from Eliakim to Jehoiakim? A mark of dominion or authority. You're no longer Eliakim. You are now Jehoiakim. You are under my realm now. You are no longer the king of your country. You're the king under me. You are under my domain. My dominion. You see, a name change there. Joseph had his name changed. Joseph's name was changed by Pharaoh. Zaphnath-Paneah was Joseph's name when Pharaoh changed it. There was a difference. There was a distinction made there. James and John had their names changed. You remember that? Boanerges, sons of thunder. What was the distinction there? You're now the sons of thunder. There was a meaning behind that. Jesus put his mark of authority on these men. This is what was happening to these young men. They were taken away from their home setting and placed in an uncomfortable surrounding, and now their names are being changed. Everything about them, they're trying to take away. They're changing it. Let me read you what their names meant and what their names were changed to and the definition of the names that their names were changed to. And you'll see the striking difference. He changed Daniel to Belteshazzar. Daniel means God is my judge. Righteous. Would that not be a righteous name? Would that not be a name to be desired? Daniel, God is my judge. Truth in that. To Belteshazzar, the treasure of Bel. The treasure of Bel. Hananiah. His name meant, the Lord has been gracious to me. A biblical meaning. Spiritual meaning. The Lord has been gracious to me. That was his name. But it was changed to Shadrach. The inspiration of the Son. What a difference. From the Lord has been gracious to me to the inspiration of the Son. Mishael, he who comes from God, changed to Meshach. He who belongs to the goddess of Shishak, a celebrated deity of the Babylonians. Azariah, the Lord is my helper, to Abednego, the servant of Nebo. Do you see the difference? Do you see what was happening to these men? They're trying to destroy everything that they had in the past. The reason was this king of Babylon was going to make a whole new life for these men. Everything in your past, you're going to forget. It's going to be changed. You are in the Babylonian court now. My dominion is over you. I am changing your names. You are not going to speak to me in the Hebrew language. You're going to learn the Chaldee. And the Chaldee language is a very sophisticated language. But you're going to forget all that you ever knew. You're under my realm now. And you're going to be in my court. And you're going to serve me the way I want you to serve me. But what did Daniel say? He went to the prince of the eunuchs and he said, I can't do this. I can't give this up. I can't eat the king's meat. I can't drink the king's wine. Why not? Why not drink, eat the king's meat? Because it was mostly unclean. You know how strict the Jewish law was about what was clean and what was unclean. And the meat that was clean, that they could eat, had been offered to idols. And we know how strict the law was about that. You shall eat no thing offered to idols. And they purposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves with the king's meat nor the wine which he drank. Now I ask you this question. Young people, you heard this afternoon the comments from Brother Ed. And those of you who weren't privileged to hear that, I wish you could have. But do you see Satan coming on with an onslaught, trying to change your very identity? Do you see how this world, the things that have come in our world, in the few short years of my life, that I am able to understand, that I was able to comprehend what was going on in this world, I see such a great change. I see the devil coming at the saints and at the world in general with an onslaught, trying to change the very identity of our nation. Was not our nation founded on principles of God? But where are we today? What is our name today as a nation? What is our name as an individual? Where is our identity? What is our identity? These men said we cannot defile ourselves with the portion of the king's meat. Yes, we are under your realm. Yes, we live in this world. Yes, we're under your dominion, Nebuchadnezzar. We're here. There's nothing we can do about that. We were carried away. But they purposed in their heart that they would not defile themselves. They would not bow down in their hearts to that. Yes, you can teach me a new language, the Chaldee language. Yes, you can train me in all this wisdom. But they had it purposed in their hearts that they would not give up the things that they had been taught. Now, what had they been taught? Strict adherence to the laws of God. Strict adherence to the laws of God. It was very clear. Very clear. Turn to Deuteronomy. The 11th chapter, I'm sorry, yes, 11th chapter. You pray for me. Beginning with the 18th verse, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart. Therefore shall you lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. And bind them for a sign upon your hand, and they may be as that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Listen, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Sounds to me like it's just all the time. It sounds to me like it was teach it all the time. When you lay down, when you rise up. Frontlets between before your eyes. It's right here all the time. Keep it there. A reminder, a constant reminder. You see it. It's there. Teach it. These young men had been taught. There are those who are not privileged to be taught. But these were. And they got a hold of it. They grasped it. And when they did grasp it, they held on to it. And they would not turn it loose. You remember what happened when they said, they came before, we just heard in this meeting, when the fiery furnace was there, the image was set up. Now at what time you hear all the music played, you bow down. Well, they went through the whole thing. They played the music. Certain of them came to the king and said, King, these guys won't bow down. And the king was furious. He was livid. His countenance was changed toward these men. Gave them another chance. But they wouldn't bow. They wouldn't bow. You see, they did everything they could to change their whole identity, but they could not change what was inside. The devil will come at us and do everything that he possibly can do to change our whole identity. The world, government, everything that the devil can throw out there, like I said, he's the same devil. The purpose is the same, but the tactics will change. And he doesn't care how he does it as long as he gets the job done. He doesn't care if he pits me against you, against the pastor, against the whole congregation, against the whole establishment. He doesn't care how he does it, just as long as he gets the job done. And he doesn't care how long it takes. He doesn't care if it takes him 90 years to do it, just as long as it gets done before you cross. What difference does it make to him? None. None whatsoever. See, it's the same subtle devil. Same one that Eve faced. Just changed his tactics up a little bit. He's had to get smart. Because we're wise to some of his tricks. Yeah, we're wise to some of his tricks. But do you see the little things creeping in around the back door? Now, it's not my purpose to bring out things here tonight. My purpose is to let us be aware and beware of the onslaught of the enemy trying to derail us and change identity. Now, folks, I want to insert something here. You may find this a little comical, but I was listening to a talk radio. This has been months ago, maybe as much as a year or two ago. And they were having a conversation on there, and I know you've probably heard the term, you read papers or you hear any kind of news reports, you hear this term politically correct. There was a talk show about someone who was, let's use the good word, let's don't make them feel bad, let's say their appearance challenged. Let's don't say they're ugly. Let's say they're just appearance challenged. They have a problem. Their appearance is not very good. But we don't want to use this word ugly. Well, folks, I have a little problem with that. I know we need to be diplomatic about some things. But when it comes to sin, and when it comes to the devil, let's tell it like it is. Let's tell it for what it is. There are things out there that will try to creep in among us with a different identity, so to speak, with a change of identity, a little different name, alternative lifestyle. What is that? What's alternative lifestyles? That doesn't sound too bad. That sounds all right. What is alternative lifestyles? I heard of a case in a state, one of our states, where the school system is taking up teaching alternative lifestyles. In the school. And what they do is they have their textbooks in the class and says, oh, we want to teach these children that we want to teach them how to cope in the real world. Well, Jimmy has two daddies. But that's okay. That's an alternative lifestyle, you see. It's okay for Jimmy to have two daddies in the same house, living under the same roof. That's okay. Or it's okay for Susie to have two mommies living in the same house. Folks, God is not pleased with that. Alternative lifestyles? What kind of name is that? Beware. Beware. The things that the devil tries to use today to creep in, tries to just ease it in a little bit at a time. And I'm sure, very sure, that you can think of things yourself. You can think of things yourself that the devil has tried to ease in. Not just as alternative lifestyles. Well, what's so big about that? God plainly speaks against that in His Word. Plainly, clearly. It is. If you don't think it is, you go back in the Old Testament law and you read it. And you read how specific it gets, how clear it is, and I see nothing in the New Testament to refute that. I haven't found anything in the New Testament that would refute it. None at all. So by that I assume and I believe that God still frowns on that. I don't believe that God is pleased with such an existence. It's not healthy. It's not healthy for a child to be raised up in that situation. And it certainly is not healthy for our society. It certainly is not. You see, when we see all these things coming in, I'm glad that I'm a little farther down the road than you young people. Because I shudder to think of the things that are going to come up whenever my children, whenever it comes time for my children to start raising a family in this world. I shudder to think of what it might be out there. I see the wickedness as it is now, rampant, and it seems that people have no shame. What will it be 15 or 20 years from now? How much has it changed in the last 15 years? Think about it. And you older ones, you can go back farther and you can see the changes. I'm just going back as far as I can remember. As far as it really was important to me that I could understand it. And I see the vast difference. And I see how Satan comes around and tries to change everything up and make it look appealing and make it look so... Well, not so bad. It's not so bad. But when you get to digging, and you get to scratching, and you get to scraping that surface off, and you see what's really there, Lord, the sin in this thing, the filth, those are the things that we face in this world. Those are the dangers that we face in this world. Now, folks, these men purposed in their hearts that they would not defile themselves. They were put under severe stress, severe trial. Now, I doubt seriously that I'll ever be thrown into a fiery furnace. I doubt that I'll ever be burned at a stake. I doubt that. It is possible, but I doubt. I doubt that I ever have to face that type of persecution, and for that I am grateful. I am grateful that we live in a country where we are free to worship as we do. I'm grateful for that. But I see a danger. I see a danger of Satan trying to change identity of things, give them a little different name, bring them in under a little different guise, where it just doesn't look so bad. In one scripture, it talks about that sin might appear exceeding sinful. You see, that's where the difference is. When I get it down here, when I get it here and I get it really established here, and I understand it, and it's deep within me, as it was with these men, it was deep within them. They had the training. And there is an advantage to that. And they wouldn't give it up. And when it comes time for the devil to try to derail me, I can say, I will not be defiled with any of your meat. I will not defile myself. I will have no part of it. And you can just hit the road. These young men told the king, they said, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter, O king. We're ready to go in that furnace if we have to. Because we know that our God that we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not bow down and worship the image which thou hast set up. They refused to bow down. I hope if somebody knows that song, I don't know it, but it's, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Does anyone know that song? They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. Somebody went in ahead of them in that furnace. And it was already mentioned here about they could just see that the Lord just called them in his arms and took care of their need. And then the king had to recognize, who's that other man walking in there with them? Who is the fourth man walking in the fire? We just threw three in there. Who is the other man? It looks like the Son of God. How would he know? Looks like the Son of God. It was very clear. I believe it was very plain. Because they had already told that king, they had already purposed when they first got there. No, Ashpenaz, please, Melzar, we don't want the king's meat. We really would rather not have that. That goes against everything that we've been taught. Just prove us a little while. The Lord will take care of it. Just prove us a little while. They proved it. And it made a change. It made a change in this king. Turned things around. My burden tonight is that we don't allow things to come our way just because it's under a different name, a different face, or a little disguise. We cannot afford to let those things creep into our lives. We can't afford it, saints. We just cannot afford. What if? Yeah, there's that word, if. What if these men had bowed down to that image? What would have been lost to you and me? We wouldn't have this account. We wouldn't have this account to go on to say, they stood true, and by the help of the Lord, I can too. Yeah, this is just one account, but it lends credence to all the others. Is it not? What if we had read of the failure of these men? What if we had read where they bowed? They were afraid, and they bowed. See, we would have, from that point, we would have said, well, they gave up. But they didn't. And by them standing true, we still have a witness today. We still have a witness today to go on. I am thankful, very thankful, for the witness of those who have gone before me and have stood true. I can stand on that. They made it, and I can too. Hebrews speaks, wherefore we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. A great cloud of witnesses. If they did it, how am I going to say I can't? If they made it, how can I tell them? How am I going to stand up at the day of judgment and say, Lord, I couldn't do it. I did it. I made it. Why couldn't you? What answer will I have? Changed my identity. Had my name changed before I got there. And I didn't know. Didn't put up a fuss. Didn't say anything about it. I just meekly let old devil come in and change my name to something else. What is your name? What is your name tonight? What is your name? Is it Daniel, God is my judge? Hananiah, the Lord has been gracious to me? Mishael, he who comes from God? Or Azariah, the Lord is my helper? What is your name? Or is it Belteshazzar, the treasure of Bel? Shadrach, the inspiration of the sun? Meshach, he who belongs to the goddess of Shishak? Abednego, the servant of Nebo? Does your name have to do with the Lord? See, the Lord gives us a name. He gives us a name. It has a meaning. What is your name? What does it have to do with? Does it have to do with heavenly things? Or does it have to do with torment and punishment? The gods of this world. What is your name? I ask you to consider it tonight. If you feel that your name is not a godly name, if you feel that you've allowed the devil to come in and work on your identity, or if you feel that the devil has come, changed some of the things around a little bit on you, changed the name of some of the things that should be classified in your mind as sinful, evil, but they don't look so bad now. If you find yourself in that place, I want to invite you tonight to come down here at this altar. Change your name. Change your name. Get things in the right perspective. Get your priorities in line. And get a name that has to do with heavenly things. I appreciate your attention. Thank you for your prayers.